Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the WTF to my OMG, it's Dan. Dan, you're still on the road.
Yep, still cruising through Indiana, or as I like to call it, the canary in the coal mine for bullshit conservative Trump's America. So, how's it going?
Oh, Lord. We're antagonizing people right and left. It's going okay. As you full well know, and a couple listeners will pick up on, we actually just finished recording a podcast together a little while ago, covering our current darlings, Better Call Saul, and to a lesser degree, Fargo, except for this week, which was amazing. But we are back. But we are only going to be talking about one CW show this week, mainly because of scheduling issues for me and you, and at least one or two of the rest of the gang who are joining us tonight. That would be the STVD All-Star Squad. Let me get that intro done now. So leading off for them, always a little bass-doing threat she is, the speed demon known as Vicky.
Hi there.
Because you run, see?
Yeah.
and in the cleanup spot, a power hitter whose streaks are often broken by his piss-poor Skype connection. It's Cade.
I'm back.
Yes. You know, I didn't know which one of them you were introducing there.
Like, yeah, I know. Well, because at the bottom of the order, which is usually reserved for the automatic outs, but can sometimes surprise you with a game-winning hit out of nowhere. It's Jason.
Hi there.
Yeah.
I like how I'm talking. I'm on a high horse about a Skype connection while I drive down the interstate.
Yeah, so we and for the people who are listening who might not be listeners to our other podcast, if the audio sounds a little odd, specifically when Dan is speaking this week, it's because he's in the midst of driving, I wouldn't say cross-country, but definitely through several states. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just crossing Indiana tonight and then working my way towards Raleigh tomorrow, North Carolina.
Right. So, you know, we have to forgive the audio issues because you are, as you said earlier, you are podcast mobile tonight.
Yes, totally. And I just had a couple delicious White Castle jalapeno sliders, which I teased on the previous podcast, so if you listen to that one. So I'll try not to burp too much after wolfing those bad boys down.
I hope there's a bathroom close by.
No, they're delicious. I can take it.
No, he can go. He'll just go in the car.
He's used to the terrible food in Wisconsin, so that's nothing different.
Oh. I've seen his car. It's really small.
Terrible food.
Oh, no. Here we go.
His car is not that small. Of course, I mean, it's the same car I have, pretty much.
Now, when you say car.
Anyway.
You mean automobile?
All right. So.
Oh, boy.
Beyond cars and potential flatulence and other things, we are actually here to talk about, as I said, one CW show, the one that we all watched, one of us just a few minutes ago, apparently. And that show would be... Wait, are you going to have time to put music in for this? Fuck it, I'll do the pause anyway. That show would be The Flash. Now, the latest episode of The Flash was titled I Know Who You Are. And because I didn't have time for notes or anything this week, should I give you a recap? The recap is basically, hey, we find out who Savitar is, and Killer Frost gets a lot of cool screen time. Okay, so on to the episode. there's your quickest recap ever. Because let's cut to the chase on this one. Let's start with the bottom here. Let's go with the future Barry reveal that we, at least a few of us, were kind of been saying for quite some time, I want to say, at this point. So you just finished watching it. You were definitely one of the proponents of this theory. So Jason, what did you make of the actual reveal and how the episode actually built up to it? And we'll move on from there.
I like the reveal. I like the cool suit that Savitar is in. It's something that I saw coming from last week, I think, is when I was finally on board with, like, this is a future Barry.
You weren't until last week? Wasn't until last? I thought you were,
I think it was last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
Oh, no, I know that. I just, I, The I thought the future Barry theory had been espoused here well before that, but maybe it had been, not by you. Maybe it,
wasn't by me.
Okay. That's,
Jason missed those podcasts. He was too busy
pulling it up. I went with the wrong. I totally went with the wrong person first. All right, no, go on, Jason. We'll make up for it shortly.
Yeah, I was on board with it last week. Just by watching the previews, and I think I said that last podcast. I liked how they used the kind of the trick of the turn of the phrase, like "I'm the future Flash" instead of the pause. That's, you know, I guess that was the selling point of it. But I think Cade was the one that had this theory first. Maybe it was you. I don't know.
We're gonna find that in a couple minutes, or maybe a couple seconds. Yeah, I figured you want to say a little bit more about it, otherwise I'll. We can just keep bouncing this one around because we're going to talk about this for more than just a couple of minutes. You know, it's kind of a big thing. Yeah.
Are we really sure what future he's from, or is he a time remnant?
Do you want me to say it now? I'll say it now. He's a time remnant. He's absolutely, positively, 100% a time remnant. I stake the future of me doing this podcast on that. Which means it's a win-win for me no matter what. But because if future I'm wrong, Scott. It's like, okay, I can get back to life again. But a future Scott, oh God. Oh my God. Past Scott's bad enough. So, Cade, then, what, I mean, was it you or was it me?
You brought it up, and when we were discussing theories, you had heard this one. And we spent some time talking about it to the point where I was like, I think you're right. And honestly, I think it became the best possible option.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have mattered if it was like everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Ronnie Raymond. No one cared. No one would care. If it's Eddie Thawne, no one's going to care. There's nothing there for these two characters from season one to have any emotional impact, really, in it being revealed to them. Because really, they kind of sacrificed themselves. So you don't want that to be your back person to come back and like... There was the abracadabra thing, but his episode came and went with nothing really leading to make it work. So when you brought up the Barry one, it's like, that really does make a lot of sense. If there's one person who can mess this group up the most, it's a Barry who has the intentions of doing it because the one who doesn't plan on destroying them does a really good job of it. So if he plans on it, he can really wreck them, which he has.
Do you realize, however, what they've done here, which... whether they meant to or not, I'd love to give them credit for saying they meant to do this, but no, they didn't. The running gag, and that's pun intended, on this show for since maybe the end of season one or beyond, is everything is Barry's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is Barry's fault. So how perfect is it that the bad guy turns out to be Barry? It's like, so the season began with everything being Barry's fault, and now we're getting near like, hey, guess what? It's still Barry's fault. Another version of it.
Literally.
It's wonderful storytelling, but I don't think they intended it to be that way. It just happened to work out really well for them. And like, that's when I made the statement, like, I know I told you privately, you guys privately, like, this episode would make me decide if I hated this season. And I don't hate this season after coming away with the reveal. It didn't fall flat. It didn't make me hate it. Now they could ruin it the next few episodes by doing terrible, but as far as last night, the moment when Barry is laying it all out, giving all the speech, and then he goes, I finally know who you are, you're like, that was a good scene. That was probably some of the best tension they've gotten in this season, when the reveal, and future Barry doesn't have to say very much at all, just showing up and revealing himself and realizing he's damaged, that he's not unscathed, he's not just some Barry who comes out of this. He's physically harmed in some way, but you can look at his face. Right. And Scott, as to the time remnant thing, didn't last week the future Barry make the statement that most of the time remnants he used to try to fight Savitar died, or they were all killed mostly, or something like that?
They dropped a hint there. They did.
Yeah,
they've been dropping hints for a while now. And the way that part of me wishes. And I've probably said this about all the shows we cover on this podcast. You know, I wish the writing could be a bit more deft or subtle at times. But at least, but then I guess you wouldn't have had that that little montage of memories that Barry has towards the end of the episode, where he has that, the sixth sense, like, oh, it all has come together for me now. Now I know who it is. Ta-da! I don't mind that, because if I knock it here, then I'm going to have to knock, like, about 100 different mystery movies that have been made over the last 80 or 90 years, so it's fine. But I do wish there had been a little bit more subtlety. But yeah, I think the thing we talked about several weeks ago, as far as the theory, was about the line that Jason was highlighting before about the "I am the future Flash," and that's definitely done very deliberately like that. Which, again, they're not that subtle, but it's fine. It's still
apparently in closed caption. There is no comma for that episode. I know someone who watched it in closed caption, and it reads just like "I am the future Flash."
By the way,
there wasn't that even. In the closed caption, it doesn't hide it.
Yeah, I know. Because I watch all these with the fucking closed captioning. Because, you know, I'm, you know, whatever. Old. So, Dan, I don't remember what night you got a chance to watch it, but obviously I know you've watched it. And this is a show that's been kind of failing for you more often than not over the last season or two. So now that we got this, and it wasn't Cisco, which was one of your theories, although Cisco did get some decent screen time here, at least. How did you feel about how it played out?
Well, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of the possibility of Barry being Savitar, some future Barry, whatever. I didn't like the concept of it. But I thought the way it came together and the potential for some cool stuff after this point, you know, it definitely made up for any kind of misgivings that I had going into it, so I thought it was nicely done. I'm looking forward to see what kind of shenanigans are going to happen now.
You know what I'm wondering, and maybe this might be part of your thinking too. The fact that this isn't, you know, just some Barry from just quote unquote Barry from the future or Barry from another Earth or something. The fact the whole time remnant aspect of it. What I'm hoping that we're going to get, you know, crossing my fingers, which will then I think cement this as being a good move, as opposed to I'm the one who's not too sure about it, quite frankly. But if we get in the next episode, if we get a good chunk of time, kind of an origin kind of a thing, where we see how the remnant came, where the remnant came to be, and what happened to the existence of that quote unquote remnant to lead it this way. If they can pull that off, if they pull that off in a convincing way, where you see why he would do and turn into what he's become, then okay, then they've knocked it out of the park compared to the Zoom debacle from last season and whatever. But that's a tall order for them. So I guess I'm cautiously optimistic, but I don't know.
Is that what they're doing, or are they going to do like an entire episode of that and then resume the story?
I haven't even looked up the title for the episode. Although I guess while we were talking,
if they did that, it could be pretty sweet.
That would be great. I mean, I love, as Jason or Kate could probably attest to as well from the comic books, I love when the comic books would, especially in Flash in later years, when they would have an issue just totally devoted to the villain, just whatever. And it's kind of like the Legends of Tomorrow episode, which had the whole thing devoted to them in that one episode. I would, if it's a really great story that makes sense, give me an episode based on the time remnant and how he became Savitar. Because if you just tell me that in 2 minutes, I might be kind of disappointed by that. Like, really?
The show tends to have a villain episode, though, about that. There was the one where you saw Reverse Flash come back, kill Harrison Wells, steal his thing, and start that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
I think they did one where Thawne last, I mean, not Thawne, Zolomon last year, where you see how he became Zoom, what all led to that. So
yes, we just don't remember.
If they follow pattern. It's terrible, but they follow a pattern. We will get one to show basically what the time remnant happened to him. Because they tend to follow their patterns in how they do this. We'll get the reveal, then we'll get the history. So I think we will get one.
All right. I'm already looking at the title and the little description for next week, which doesn't indicate that. So they might do something where it might be a more brief part of the episode, or maybe they'll do one after that. I'm just going to look at future titles. Dan, you're about to say something, it sounded like?
I kind of like how they've kind of some, you know, the time travel rules are really complicated on this show, but I kind of like how they've sort of established that, like, you know, the option of Barry killing himself to, like, save Iris, like, doesn't work because, like, you know, killing Eddie didn't, like, keep a reverse flash time reference to cause and shit.
Right.
So I kind of like that, like, you know, that even though it's not something that they're not going to, the main character isn't going to commit suicide for this kind of thing, but I just kind of like how, like, we know that that isn't an option that's going to work, so they're going to have to figure something else out, and that kind of, you know, I just, you know, it's kind of neat, I guess, you know, neat and tidy.
Yes. I appreciate that as well. Oh, by the way, I don't know why I'm taking time in the podcast to say this, but I have to, for Cade and Jason. So never mind next week's episode title, which is Cause and Effect.
I just looked at, I know which one you're going
to
bring
up. You know, I have to. For classic Flash fans, the penultimate episode of the season, the title is Infantino Street.
So good.
And for those who are like, yeah, what does that mean? The artist, co-creator, and kind of legendary DC artist, and one-time editor even, Carmine Infantino, who basically designed the Flash's look and whatever. So I love the fact that they named an episode after him. So that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm also a big fan of this episode took care of my biggest criticism of the season, no love interest for HR. So,
do you want to talk? I think that was one of the better characters they've introduced all year.
Oh, yeah. Tracy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that a character with DC origins that I don't know about? I didn't want to Google it because I didn't want to spoil myself on anything.
You wouldn't spoil anything.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that's like, you know, some superheroine.
Is she somebody?
Like.
I have no idea.
She isn't.
Okay. Well, I should, therefore, since we brought her up, I'd like to point out that unlike Legends, for example, they actually went and got, like, a decent actress for the part, Anna Dudek, who people know from everything from House to Mad Men, so she's been around. She's actually, I mean, she's actually playing beneath her pay skill here, quite frankly.
Oh, God, that's Francine? Oh, yeah, I didn't fucking realize that until just now. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. But I did like that. And the fact that they went and got someone like that's like, oh, I bet she's going to be around for at least a couple episodes, so she's not going to get killed. Then she died. No, she didn't get killed.
yeah, at least not right away.
The stuff with her and HR, I don't know. Was he just being just a little bit too much of a creeper in this episode with her, or was that just me?
Oh, he was.
it's like, What are those drumsticks or Harry Potter wands? And he's constantly
drumsticks.
Okay,
drumsticks. He's got to be cool.
Have they shown him drumming? I don't remember him drumming.
No, okay. He just swirls them around.
He couldn't think without them last week.
He had to go dig them out from under like piles of rubble at Star Labs.
Fucking useless. Anyway, so he's
just like him.
That's what I mean. It's like, oh, Kavanaugh, I hope you're taking some money home for this crap. So another thing that I thought was lovely to talk about in this episode, beyond Future Barry, and Vicky, I know you haven't commented on Future Barry yet, so I expect you to wedge that in here anyway. Killer Frost, and the stuff between her and also the whole situation, Vibe or Cisco being kind of... Although I didn't really buy his reasoning there, I thought that felt a little bit forced to me. Like, yeah, really? But they really went to town with Killer Frost in this episode as far as what she can do, what she was capable of, and what she was being pressured to do. So the fact that this actress is finally getting something to do, among other things, so it makes me want to speak to Vicky first, because I know she's usually the champion of women actually getting a fair shake on this show. Notice Iris had nothing to do. what did you think of Killer Frost and how she was handled here?
I thought it was, like, freaking awesome. Like, yeah, I know. I totally, like, bemoaned the fact that she had to, like, basically turn into a villain to have anything interesting to do, but she's generally good at it.
Like Laurel Lance. Sorry.
Well, I mean, like, she's definitely doing a lot with this role as Killer Frost, and I really like it. She's kind of knocking it out of the park. And I really did find it interesting that with the whole thing with her and Sisko, just how he can't, you know, take that shot or whatever to take her out. But I mean, you know, kind of in the end, he kind of does to save Barry's skin, but it was kind of only a temporary kind of thing. And I still think that's going to be, you know, kind of an ongoing issue with him, just because I kind of did believe that they really were such good friends, because they, you know, they spent a whole lot of time together in the lab while Barry's out, you know, giving support to him and just working on all this, you know, tech and working together and whatnot.
I'm not denying that. That's not my issue. I believe it. I believe I've never been one of those creepy Sisko Caitlin shippers that I've seen online. Which,
oh gosh, no, the only creepier thing is the Barry Caitlin. Yeah.
Or Barry Iris for that. Oops. Anyway,
didn't they do something like this a few weeks ago where they had something where like a character was worried about something and then like it instantly happened, so it was just like just really clumsy and just like a lame off. Deal with the plot device, and I think it's with something to do with Sisko. I can't remember what it was, but I remember bitching about it.
I think so. It's symptomatic of the show from time to time. I just felt that the whole thing was just, I don't know. It just felt a little forced and contrived to me. If it would have worked this way, if they had shown Sisko using his abilities before, and he's had problems controlling them, right? Issues controlling them.
That part I did have, yeah.
But that's my problem, is he was afraid to use his powers on her because he's afraid of what he might do. And I was like, why? You haven't done anything which made me go, oh, you haven't accidentally killed any of the villains you've used them against or anything else. Why would you think it would happen here? That's what I didn't buy. I don't think they layered in his reason. I buy how he feels. Yeah, of course. It would be weird for him not to feel that way. I mean, it makes a lot more sense for Sisko to be worried about possibly hurting someone who he still sees as his friend, as opposed to go back a couple seasons and Barry not seeming to forget that there's a guy who's only looks like he's Iris or someone and can't hit him. Like, no, you know it's the villain, you idiot. You're a what's wrong with you? Remember that stupidity?
At least having Sisko be a schlub and just kind of like looking like just a dummy and wait, let himself get his ass beat a bit. At least that didn't like detract from like how cool Killer Frost was. You know, it was just like, you know.
Like my favorite part though was like when she wrote on that ice a la Frozone.
on the ice bridge.
That was so cool.
So yeah, I was thinking about that because obviously you can go back to, let's see, we can go back to the 60s and Iceman used to do it with the X-Men, or even when he still looked like a snowman, I think, but definitely when he became the ice, the sculpted version of himself. Killer Frost, I believe, did do that in the comics as well. I seem to recall that. And Frozone is from
the Incredibles. The
Incredibles, right?
Incredibles.
Yeah.
Which I'm not kidding you, and if I almost want to put the video on the Skype right now. I'm wearing my Inconceivables shirt as we're talking, which, you know, it's the cast of The Princess Bride, but drawn to look like The Incredibles. It's like the most awesome shirt ever. I can't think of any other. Go on. What?
Oh, yeah, just speaking of Killer Frost here, that the chase scene between her and Barry was freaking awesome. And you could tell, like, you know, maybe there was a few episodes where they kind of, you know, cut corners and special.
Oh, yeah, they saved their budget here.
If they were saving it for this, it paid off because that was sweet.
Yeah,
it looked good the whole time.
I think they said, okay, we'll have a few fakey looking gorillas in Gorilla City just so we can pull this one off or something like that. But just have the quickly, Jason Kidd. Am I forgetting another ice, be it hero or villain, who's done like that ice bridge thing? Or are those the only ones that really come to mind? I can't think of any other ones who've done it. But I feel like I'm forgetting someone who might have done it.
I think ice, a fire and ice from Justice League Europe could do it too.
League. Well, I don't feel bad about forgetting about them. So
you should, but yeah, I think she could do the same similar thing.
Anyway, I really enjoy. What was really nice about the special effect was, I mean, obviously we're watching something which is a, you know, a computerized CGI effect, but I wasn't so keenly aware of it that it would bother me, because of course that's how they have to do it. But it didn't have some of the fakiness that we've seen in some others. You know, like look, Jay Garrick is clearly not Jay Garrick, and you know, during that fight with Savitar, or whoever the hell it was that season. This was really well done. It was really nicely done. I think Killer Frost ends up being, and maybe also because it's a weaker season, probably one of the best villains we've had this season, just in terms of the look, the action, and the sequences we got with her. So
that's a guarantee. That's the automatic truth.
Now, I think one of the actual best parts about the whole the ice slide thing is the dismount. She just kind of slides right off of it and starts walking. Such a smooth transition how they did that. Like, it looks like she almost, they had her slide down something actually to pull that off. And well done to her and those heels to make that slide and do that so to make that look so easy. Not easy. Well done.
Oh.
Yeah, I noticed her walking on the heels too. I'm just like, damn, that must be a freaking long day on the set. But it looked, you know, just convincing every time she was doing any kind of movement. So really, really sweet.
And they gave her an outfit too, because I know Jason cares about that. I'm just kidding. But that's not the same outfit that the Earth 2 version had.
No. Earth 2 was like very totally black different. Leather and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There was something that looked vaguely similar. Like, I mean, again, this is a character that's had, if I recall, many, many, many different looks. Not just the fact that she's been different characters, but I think there's several different Killer Frost looks over the last 35, 40 years, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're certainly not going to go with the classic one because they're just not. But I kind of enjoyed this as feeling like it felt like it was elements from different outfits. I thought it kind of worked well since we like to do fashion on the show. So.
Aren't you guys kind of tired of Julian whining about it and just like worried that like, you know, he's going to like, I don't know, try to be Dr. Alchemy again so he can hang out with her or some shit? Because I'm just really, you know, I don't know. I can understand his viewpoint, but it did kind of.
Yeah, it gets a little repetitive.
I don't know. Is it as repetitive as Cisco keeps blaming him for doing what he did? Which I feel like they've hit that nail on the head a couple times too many already. And I was like,
yeah, I don't think it's any more than some of the other times they've been repetitive on the show about things.
Well, yeah.
I missed the Julian that was a dick. That's who I missed. Bring him back.
You could just make up for it on our podcast, Jason. No, just kidding. Yeah, but no, I would actually. I hate when any character starts to become it feels like it's too much of a one-note character for any extended period of time, and that's kind of what the Julian thing has been, so I actually do agree. But I was getting annoyed with Cisco, kept bitching at him, because basically, Cisco, what you're saying is like, so you should have let her die. Okay, that's what you're saying, Cisco.
Yeah.
In that moment, there wasn't another option.
Yeah.
She was dead. You should have let her die. This is the same guy who can't use his vibe powers on her later on, but felt that she would have been better off dying.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to your vibe thing is about how he is not, you know, I think he's been the opposite. He's been shown to be extremely in control of his powers.
Yeah.
From the beginning. I mean, he even did a portal in the warehouse to break his fall. I don't understand where he was coming from with his that he was afraid to hurt.
Because the writers had to have a contrivance for it, and they weren't good enough to come up with a better one. That's where it came from.
When they had him and like the other female viber, like when they had their like, you know, 50 dimension like makeout like fight. I mean, you know, he was totally in control of the entire thing with like somebody with the same power set going on the whole time. So yeah, it was completely contrived and inconsistent. I was like, I'm going to be afraid of fire this episode. Oh, next week, we're hanging around a bonfire. Oh, oops.
My biggest thing with Killer Frost, though, is that I kind of don't understand how, like, at the end of last week, you know, she's asking Savitar, why would I trust you? She sees it's, you know, Barry, and then she's just immediately like, oh, okay, I trust you.
He's probably just glad that he doesn't have as bad a hair as a future Flash.
But it's still not great.
Yeah, emo Barry.
But it's still not great.
I don't know. I think that might be, and I hope that they might kind of explain that somehow.
I'm going to put my money on no.
Yeah, I know. Probably not. But, I mean, that's just something that bothers me.
I think she was just like, oh my God, those people on that podcast and online, they were right. That's such a good idea. I think I'll follow what he says. No. He's got those cool scars, man. Anyway, also maybe you can make the psychological jump here that she Now, she was Caitlin Snow, and she's aware of her previous quote-unquote identity, and now she's become something else, this more obviously evil presence, this Killer Frost, and she knows Barry as kind of being like the you know, kind of like what Caitlin was, now seeing here is an evil, you know, in her mind, thus evolved version of him. So it's a kindred spirit kind of a situation instantly, and she already... Now, which would probably channel something in her head, because Caitlin would be someone who had previously always deferred to Barry anyway. So in a weird way, that's what we're doing with the Killer Frost Savitar situation, with her deferring to the future Barry. You know, that's my weird, bizarre, but somehow plausible in my own mind explanation for what you're asking. They'll never be able to say that, but that's just I'm trying to treat it like real people, and that's maybe what they're thinking here.
Does anyone want to talk about Joe, like, briefly making Arrow-level relationship decisions here?
Honestly, that's just another long line of, I don't want to tell this person the truth, so I'm going to do something stupid, Flash instant.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You got to protect him.
Pivot.
If we did a test every time somebody, like, said they needed to, like, lie to him to protect him, then, like, we would all be dead and, like, you know...
I like this one, though. It didn't play out weeks. She just gets kidnapped immediately after he does it. And it's like, well, shit. Now I gotta tell her.
Killer Frost totally saved us from that shitty storyline dragging out.
Yes. We owe her a lot. even though I was going like, so you save the budget for all the cool effects for most of the show, but then, hey, what are we going to do with her now? She can just walk around holding an icicle. What? That's your. You know what? You don't need to hold the icicle up to her throat. Just your hand on her throat actually works. So you can freeze it. Anyway. So Joe, yeah, the Joe West storyline, and the fact that the other West children really barely played any part in this episode at all. Yeah. Did anyone catch?
Iris
Wally was all
there
in for like 5 seconds.
And Iris was only there for Joe to look down and insinuate Iris dies to get the girl to go, okay, I should try to help. That was the only reason Iris was there. To make sad puppy face if this one dies, you want to help?
I don't think it's a good thing that I didn't realize that Wally wasn't there until about halfway through the episode.
Oh yeah. Well, I think somebody, there's a line about him being on like an Earth 3 booty call.
Yeah, last week.
That's what he was doing. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Bow, chicka, waka, waka, waka. Anyway. Kids, what are they going to do with them today? So we've... Well, this was episode 20, so we've got three more. So... Okay, we've been... I think we've been more down than up on this season. I would... pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I'm trying to figure out where we were when we were on episode 20, or after 20 episodes of last season, and how we felt then, and how we feel now. I'm just trying to evaluate that by the time we finish the season, is this better or worse than last season?
I think we're a little bit more optimistic going into the final than we were last year.
Yeah. At least this one, we don't have the villain reveal. Yeah, we don't have the reveal making us just like, this is terrible. They've ruined this. The reveal didn't ruin the character.
Okay.
The whole storyline still feels okay as of... Like, last year, the minute we knew it was Hunter Zolomon with Zoom and the whole thing, it's like, well, this is just... It fell apart immediately. This didn't do that. They at least have some... I go, okay, we could be working towards something even better than what we so currently have. Last season, I was like, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
Well, this time last year was the episode right before the Runaway Dinosaur, which was Barry trapped in the Speed Force.
Okay.
He died. He died at the end of episode 20. You know, he exploded.
Oh yeah.
I'm looking.
And then 21 was him in the Speed Force.
Oh yeah, rupture and that stupid guy in the stupid outfit, but I don't even know who the hell that is. So that tells you.
I don't.
It was Cisco's brother, right? From the alternate Earth.
Is that who it is?
I'm just going to tell you, I don't Dante, remember much of season two.
It was Dante Ramone.
I'm glad someone remembers.
I'm glad I don't remember. I'm glad I don't remember.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So.
Yeah,
I don't either. I don't remember any of this.
He just told me I'm still not sure about it. I'm looking at the camera like, really? Is that who that is? I don't care. Yes, Dante Ramon was Rupture, right?
Was he the one who had the dumb from Earth sight 2. For no reason?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the hockey mask.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Okay, the less we talk about that, the better the podcast will be. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit more optimistic. Maybe it's because the Savitar, like you guys said, the Savitar reveal didn't make me go, yeah, the way the whole Teddy Cirrus thing did last season, which just every time he took off that mask, I was like, no, Zoom is cool with the mask on. He sucks without it. It's like Darth Vader without the mask. I don't want to see, you know, the flabby old guy. I want to see Darth Vader. Oh, did I just spoil something for someone? Sorry. Wah, wah. Anyway, I'll be cursed at later. Movie's only like 30-something years old. Anyway. So, and also the Killer Frost present makes it cool. And I won't say it on the podcast, but looking at a description of a future episode, I'm kind of... It looks like someone else is going to show up, but should make the Killer Frost thing kind of interesting. Kate, if you looked up, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I have a little bit more hope. I don't know if I'll wait until for the season to be over to see which one I like better. Maybe I'm just looking more forward to the fourth season, knowing it finally won't be a goddamn speedster as a villain, but, you know, in case they kind of pull
another... That's what they said.
Yeah, but say, unless they pull another quote-unquote fast one on us. So, yeah, I just did that. That's right. Is there anything else about this episode or The Flash in general anyone wants to bring up before we get to our actual scorecards here?
I've got one thing that bothers me.
Go for it.
That is, why did they have to have a sketch artist of Caitlyn if they weren't going to use it?
Well, you know, police procedure. They gotta make it look like they're doing something.
Yeah, to make this woman think who is attacked that they were actually going to look for this person.
But right. She works at that university, so she knows they have surveillance.
And she didn't go look at the surveillance. It could have been wiped out, Jason.
They already they mentioned they wiped out the cameras.
Got erased.
Yeah.
Did they mention it to her though? That's all I was bothered by that immediately as I saw it.
But the police always ask a victim to give a sketch.
That's so not a problem.
See, I'm so glad we didn't have Speed Read Mom, except then we would have just been mocking you. Oh, we are anyway. Anyway, so Danny?
Oh, this doesn't have a lot to do with the episode, but one of my coworkers watched the show too, and he wasn't able to finish the episode. And he was trying to get me to tell him who Savitar was, and like, you know, I'm not going to tell you. And he's like, it's Barry, isn't it? And it's like, no, it's Malcolm Merlyn. And it was really funny.
Oh, I was going to say I wanted it to be Tommy. I was hoping it was going to be Tommy.
That
would have been insane.
That was my planned gag for the whole podcast. I totally forgot until you said, wow, Merlyn. Oh, what a coincidence. See, that's why we podcast together. All right. So.
Yeah, so no, you guys had commented on this, but I really liked Tracy a lot. I thought she was freaking awesome.
You're so gender biased, I swear to God.
You know what? She's done more in one episode than Caitlin has done in how many seasons?
You don't need to convince me.
Yeah.
It's okay if you like girls, Vicky. It's fine. Whatever you gotta do.
Are you fulfilling the Jason role this week? Are you planning your Tracy brand up cosplay now? Is that what's going on?
No, and I just kind of like how she basically has no interest in HR. So she doesn't have to, she's not in the role of someone's like love interest. I mean, he might like her, he's trying to flirt with her or whatever, but she's kind of not really having any of it.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's deliberate or if she just like is just like, you know, so used to just doing her freaking like grad work and just like has no idea what's happening. So I think it might be some of that too.
Well, yeah,
and they'll probably hook up just to bug you.
There's
anyway,
nothing wrong with that either.
People need to stop getting together.
Women can be more involved, more invested in their work than trying to find a relationship, which I'm perfectly fine with. Especially because we need more of that on TV.
Yes, ma'am. I agree.
Yeah, I'm gonna bail out now so I can navigate myself the rest of the way. So,
what's your grade?
Yeah, so.
Dad, what's your grade before you go?
Oh, sorry. I'll give it a 4.5. I thought about a 5, but the Zill stuff was kind of dumb.
I agree with that.
4.5. And Vicky, I hope you can get your drinking problem under control. I know you've had a rough month, but I got your back. That's all. Good night, guys.
I see you, Dan.
Good night.
So, Vicky, for the first time ever, someone gave a grade before you. So now it's your turn.
So you can be the one that brings the score down.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it a 4.5, give it a 4.5 also.
Dang it.
Cade.
4.5.
Jason?
Yep, 4.5.
Oh, so tempting. So
tempting. If I were you, I'd give a different score just to be that person.
If I hadn't said the Future Flash stuff in a previous podcast, I'd go lower. But I feel like I kind of have to, because that and the Killer Frost stuff does make up for a lot of the stuff, which seems to be one of the running phrases of this podcast. I'm going to give it a 4.5, too. We'll make it a clean sweep. So.
Wow. Well,
there you
that
go.
That must be the first time that happened.
I think it is, especially for a show that's usually been as crappy as this one. No, I kid. No, I don't. They're never going to listen. So, hey, and how about that Defenders trailer? Anyway, so just before I do a wrap-up, have you all seen the Defenders trailer? You've all seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
I still don't care. I'm still not going to watch Daredevil Season 2 or Luke Cage or Iron Fist.
I'm slogging my way through Iron Fist.
Oh, you didn't even watch Luke Cage? You didn't even watch Luke Cage?
No, I'm done with it. I don't care anymore about Marvel Netflix stuff.
Wow. I finished Iron Fist, I think, like the other week.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard one for me to bother with, because I've heard so much more negative than positive. And the people who have been positive about it, I'm like, yeah, but your opinions usually kind of suck, so I don't know. And they don't listen. Oh, they might listen. Oh, well, too bad. That's true. Anyway, I only care about my opinion. You people know that already anyway. Yeah, I don't know if I'll watch Iron Fist. Maybe I'll watch one episode. I'll take it like one at a time. And the moment I think it sucks, I'll just bail out on it immediately. But Jessica Jones alone, and I have to watch it for that reason, because I think she's awesome. So, all right, I'll wrap it up then. So if you enjoyed this podcast, you'll enjoy our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. You can like the page and join the conversation about shows such as The Flash, as well as Better Call Saul, Fargo, Arrow, Supergirl, and whatever the heck else we talk about there. Leftovers, some other stuff. You can also follow us on... Not follow us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Type in Serious TV Drama Podcast, subscribe to the feed, and rate and review us. We've been stuck on 39... ratings and 25 reviews for way too fucking long now. Can we break 40? I was supposed to do something special if we get 40 and then 50. Never happened. I don't remember what I promised. It's never going to happen now. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter. The Twitter handle there is at STVD. Podcast is STVD as in Serious TV Drama. And you can also follow us on the Suddenly Poppin' page that someone here is a member of. Vicky, what's that page again?
PopCultHQ.com.
I didn't even mean that when I said pop, and I actually just thought, oh, wow, I'm so fun. I'm so talented. Anyway, so that was an interesting podcast, doing just one show with Dan on the road. We'll see how much of that background noise interferes. I think it won't be too bad. And thank you guys for being here. Wait a minute. There's something that always happens. There's something. I feel like we're forgetting something.
This is episode 179.
179.
That's right.
A number that means absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Listen to the Better Call Fargo podcast, too.
Yeah. This last one we just did with Dan on the road, that's it's either going to be really good or really bad. I don't know. I think we spent most of our time gushing about it anyway. Because this week's Fargo, what the hell? Awesome. Anyway.
I haven't seen it yet, but, you know.
It's different than any other episode you've ever seen, and makes up for the first two, which I thought were good but not great. When you see it, you'll understand. Oh, you will understand.
I enjoyed the unexpected end of Scoot McNairy. Spoilers.
And yeah, nicely done.
You're welcome.
Jeez. What I spoiled was okay. It was like, you know, almost four decades. Don't not. Anyway, whatever. And Better Call Saul was also amazing this week. Unbelievably good. All right. So good night to you guys. Thanks for joining. And good night to everyone out there.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat. Beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The
Flash, the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash. Smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy. Thief or robber, the world's fast. Yeah, man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the unbeatable Flash.
No one knows Barry Allen is his real name. Works with the police, justice is his aim. Wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it when danger threatens.